Welcome to Willow Creek Fellowship in Plano, Texas. Here now is our senior pastor, Roy Frady.
Today we're going to look at the
biblical story of the tax man. The tax man up a tree has many of us laughing and saying it couldn't happen to a nicer guy. Imagine an IRS agent coming to your home to collect taxes. And suddenly, as he's about to knock on your door, you hear your dog barking and the footsteps retreating. And that IRS agent is halfway up the tree with the dog with his mouth full of the seat of the pants of that designer suit that he was wearing. And growling at him. Well, you see, the tables have turned, haven't they? It's the IRS agent asking for mercy and for grace. Not you, but the tax collector. Begin to understand, I think, what seeing Zacchaeus, up a tree meant to the people in the crowd. Zacchaeus was the chief tax collector, and climbing a tree in the daytime because he was short to see Jesus come to town was something that you didn't expect. The Romans used Jewish businessmen to collect the taxes, and they were designated by the Romans as tax collectors. And they had their job to do, and so they would take the tax that the Romans decided should be given to a particular city or location, and they would pay up front for the privilege of collecting that tax. And so the Romans were happy because they got the money up front for their taxes. And they sent a couple of their soldiers to help the tax collector to make a profit from the people. And that made the people hate the tax collector. He represented the Romans. He represented the Roman way of life. He represented the Roman gods. He represented the Roman everything. He was Roman, as far as they were concerned. Not only was he a hound asking them to pay their taxes, but he was a traitor to the Jewish people. He made his living by cheating the people. That is the way Jesus came to town. Came to town because he had a message to bring to the Jews and to the tax collectors, to the saved and to the lost. He wanted people to know that he was going to deal fairly with them. It wasn't a matter of how much you gave, not of your money, not of your substance, but whether you gave him your total obedience. Let us go before him in prayer. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we can come together and pray and seek your face. Father, it is a great privilege for us to stand here, to sit and hear your word proclaimed. It is a great privilege to know that you have sent your only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should never perish, but should have life everlasting. Father, we thank you for that unspeakable gift that you have given to us. And Father, if there be anything that I would say that is not in perfect keeping with your word, may it be cast out. May people remember it no longer. May they ignore what I say and how I say it. But those words that are from you, those words that are filled with life and death, Father, we anticipate that you will use those words to change us, to transform us into new creatures, creatures whose only desire is to serve you. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may stand or sit for the reading of the Word. Reading of the Word today will come from Luke, the 19th chapter, verses 1 through 11. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass the way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. Amen. Jesus came through healing and teaching, leading a crowd of people. Jesus would always do the unexpected. He would invite himself to the home of the chief tax collector. And as he did that, the people were concerned because they thought that the tax collector was the chief of sinners. And to dine with an unclean man was to be unclean yourself. Not only that, but to eat with someone like that raised him to an equal with those who kept the law. Jesus was consistent that his mission was to seek and save the lost. He said it time after time after time. Then the scene shifts. The tax collector, being short, tries to get a better view of Jesus and climbs a sycamore tree. I went to Jericho on the first time I ever went to Israel. And there is a huge sycamore tree there, and people said, well, that's the sycamore tree that Zacchaeus climbed in order to see Jesus. I doubt that that is true. But you know, that sycamore tree was a tree that had branches that you could climb. It had large branches. Branches that allowed you to climb up into its very top and see for miles around. The act of Zacchaeus actually climbing the tree was an evidence that he was willing to listen. He was willing to see. He was willing to hear. His curiosity drove him, but he was willing to repent To be thought a fool climbing a tree, he knew everybody would see him. And yet, he climbed that tree, even though it probably tore his flesh and the wonderful clothes that he had on, because he was willing to repent and obey. And Jesus used Zacchaeus' attitude to perform a miracle. I told you that he always did the unexpected. People wouldn't anticipate that he would do a miracle out of Zacchaeus making a fool of himself, and yet your attitude affects your altitude, and the altitude of Zacchaeus was just high enough so that Jesus could look up at him and say, "Come, come." Someone knew Zacchaeus's name. Now, I've had that experience, and I don't know how many of you have had that experience, but when I was on one of my trips to Israel, I had a camera with me, and many of you have heard this story, but it's worth telling again, at least to me. And there was a camera that I had with me, and I wanted someone to take a photograph of me coming out of the tomb of Christ. And so I walked out of the tomb, and the person took the photograph, and I thought, boy, this is going to be a treasured trophy for me. And I went on my way and I ran back to the bus. The bus was filled with people that were getting ready to go and leave this place, Garden Tomb. And they were going to drive on to some place where it was a secret place, where people were watching every moment, every minute of the day, every location in the city of Jerusalem, where they could monitor with these great huge monitors everything that went on. And so they were taking us there. They took us various places, and it was a government thing, and so they wanted to try to get us to conform with what the government wanted, and the bus driver already had the bus going. It was revved up. It was ready to go. I was the last person on the bus. Now, I got to my seat, and I looked down, and I couldn't find my camera anywhere. It was gone. I couldn't find it. It wasn't in my seat. It wasn't in my coat pockets. It wasn't anywhere around me. I couldn't find that camera. And I pleaded with the bus driver. I said, "Listen, I need to go back and get this camera, because this camera has a photograph of me coming out of the tomb of Christ professing that he is not there. He is risen." And so it meant a lot to me. And the driver, being Jewish, he looked at me kind of funny and said, "All right, well, go on back in." I ran back in and I looked at the tomb, and there was no camera there. And I went inside this little gift shop that they have, and I asked around. I said, "Does anybody know what happened to my camera? Has anybody turned the camera in?" They said, "No. But there's someone here who knows your name." I said, "Well, who would know who I am?" They said, "That group right over there knows who you are." And I said, I walked to the group and I said, "How do you know who I am?" They said, "You're Roy Frady. You preach for us at Hunters Glen Baptist Church. And we're here doing a missionary journey. And we know who you are." I ran back out to the bus, empty-handed. I went back to my seat, and there on the seat was my camera. And I turned to the people that were around me. There was a psychologist and all kinds of people that were there. And I said, "Well, at least I got a sermon out of that run." They said, "What?" I said, "Someone in the garden knows my name. I praise God for that. And I have an inkling of how Zacchaeus felt when he was up a tree. He had never seen Jesus. He wanted to see Jesus. And Jesus looked up and called him by name. He said, come. Come. A stranger, an honored prophet, a man who could heal with a word, a man who people flocked to see, was calling Zacchaeus by name. And he said he was going to go and be at his house if he would come. Zacchaeus was filled with excitement and obeyed. Zacchaeus must have been a very bad man because the crowds hated him. Why would you want Jesus, they might have said to him. But Zacchaeus wanted to hear the voice of Jesus calling to him. And he heard that voice and he obeyed. He promised half of all of his possessions. He said he would repay four times if he had stolen from anybody. The people wondered if he had lost his mind. He had knocked his head on one of the limbs when he came down. He was offering to do a restoration that even the law didn't require. The Jews were skeptical. But the one who called him wasn't skeptical. He was sure. And he called Zacchaeus by name. Jesus believed. Jesus turned to the Jews who followed him and said, today salvation has come to this house because he too is a son of Abraham. He is one of God's chosen people. He is like each of us, of great worth because he has been chosen by God. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. The Jews quieted down after that. You know, this was an old question that the Jews had asked ever since the birth of Jesus. They didn't know why he was born. Why, what, is he the Savior? Or if he's the Savior, why doesn't he do this? Or why doesn't he do that? Because Jesus always does the unexpected. Not the things you expect. The experience of those who stood about with rocks in their hands and their hearts hardened over the woman that was caught in the very act of adultery, would hear Jesus say, he who is without sin cast the first stone. It's one of several questions they needed to understand. You see, people had to look at Zacchaeus in a new way. They had to look at Zacchaeus as one of them. He was a son of Abraham, which was to say that he was a special person that God had created. God had created every one of us. He created us with flesh that is thin or flesh that is thick. He created us differently, some of us have black skin, some of us have white skin, some of us have brown skin, some of us have all kinds of colors of skin that we have, all kinds of races that we are. But in my youth, I knew because Jesus said to me, I love everyone. And my grace is for everybody. He is without sin, cast the first stone. I could hear the stones dropping out of the hands of the people. You backed away, left Jesus alone with the woman. You may remember that the woman asked, as she saw the people walk away, "Will you condemn me?" He said, "No. Who is there to condemn you? I will not condemn you. No one here condemns you. Go and sin no more." We're all of us sinners in need of a Savior. Every one of us. That was only one of the several questions they had to ask themselves that day. They had to learn how easy it was to remain prejudiced against someone. They had to understand their own self-righteousness. They had to understand how Jesus loved everyone. He was willing to lay down his life for everybody. What about you? Haven't you said, through action, word, or deed, sometime, somewhere in your life, haven't you judged somebody else? Haven't you said, it's harder for that person to get into heaven because he's not like me? Jesus said that it was harder for a rich man to get into the kingdom of heaven than it was for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. But haven't each of us strained at gnats and swallowed camels? All of us have. Every single one of us. The kingdom of God has come and is at work all the time. Zacchaeus was transformed before the eyes of all the people. He was made a new creature in Christ Jesus. He was a new man. And if Jesus could do that out of a tax collector, what else was he capable of? It meant that he was able to make out of you or me anything he wanted. It meant that he was willing to take a thief, the good thief we call him, who was on the cross beside him, and hear him, and hear his defense of Jesus. He said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. I have stood by the bedside of many a dying person." That is the thing I hope everyone says. I pray that we will all say, "Jesus, may I come into your kingdom." Jesus could give forgiveness and mercy and make a new man out of a tax collector. What else could he do? We learn that saving grace means accepting what Jesus alone can do. We're living in uncertain times. Listening to the people on television, there's not a single person you could vote for. There are bad people all around. I look at you, and I see God's grace shining back at me. We sit in the echo chambers of the things we like to hear, say the things we believe, as each of us is trying desperately to stay in our comfort zone. Well, Jesus is leading us out of our comfort zone. He's leading us away from our comfort zone. He does the unexpected. He may do it today. He may do it anytime He desires. You should know that we have a lot in common with Zacchaeus, more than we like to admit. Many of us are desperately seeking to know God. But you should know that God has been searching for you all the time. And that God is knocking on your heart today. And that God can do anything else you can imagine. And that God loves you. Your search can be over. No matter what you've done, Jesus is ready to say to you up a tree, "Come, I'll walk with you. I'll walk beside you." Jesus is ready to go to your house with you. He's ready to go to prison with you. He's ready to go any place with you, because you have decided to walk with Him. But what for the rest of us? The rest of us would like to align ourselves with God and His work on this world, but we go grumbling. We go kicking and screaming. We should remember that the kingdom of God is at work all around us. That He is at work today. Let us strive to be like Jesus and see what this biblical story sees. A sinner that is in need of a Savior is up a tree, despised, hated, looked down on, a misshapen, lonely person who's been left behind by the good people. But Jesus came for him, came for you and me, regardless of our race or creed or any other factor. May we be like Jesus, like the good thief on the cross, next to Him. May we hear the groans and pleas for help of those people who call out to us. May we embrace everyone that needs a hand up or a helpful hand. Maybe each of us can be like Jesus when He says, "Come, come."
We pray the Holy Spirit has enlightened you today. Pastor Frady's sermons are on the internet at willowcreekfellowship.org. Join us live in person each Sunday at 1804 Avenue P at 19th Street in Plano, Texas. Or join us live on the internet each Sunday at 1105 a.m. Central Time at willowcreekfellowship.org. God bless you.